The following podcast contains scenes of graphic violence, abuse, hate for children, and a child host. Viewer's discretion is advised, and I haven't taken a proper bath in like 2 days, and I stink. Shit. And my cat's snoring. Hello and welcome to the 16th episode of In the Memory of the Goldfish. Who would have thought we couldn't make it this far? Yeah. And today, on the episode, we are gonna start recording at 4 a.m. in the morning. I had 2 hours to sleep, so I am a little dazed and confused, but I'm also very fresh, so let's see how this one goes. And we're going to be covering the case of the Twilight murders, and that's all I'm going to tell you about it, because it's going to be so fun to go through it if you've already heard it. So please do not spoil it for yourself and forget it like I do, and it's gonna be pretty fucking fun. So talking about fun things, let's get into fishy news. Now, today, it's going to be a little different because there was, normally when I try to do fish news, I try to make it more relevant in the sense that it should be latest. But I did one news, I read about it and I was like, oh my god, this is that one. And then it was from 2018, and then I was like, yeah, now I'm still going to do it. So the first fish news for today is adults only, Glasgow Science Center. Boffins set to test condoms, chop testicles at adult-only night. I mean, so the article reads, staff admits the planned slicing of a lamb's private parts, quote, won't be for the faint-hearted, unquote. Quote, we hope folk will have more interest in the science and have a fun night, unquote. I mean, it's adults only, so fun night. Testing condoms, fun night. Chopping testicles, a very fun night. Slicing a lamb's private part, yeah, night. No. Why? I don't understand, why do humans have such an obsession with cutting parts of animals like that? Like, cut your own parts, cut your own testicles, Karen, if you want to. The second one is, sorry, the Amy Poehler lookalike stripper who squirted vaginal fluid at cops is fake. So we're gonna ignore the fact that she squirted the vaginal fluid at cops and focus on the fact that she's fake. Alright, priorities. So, well, the article which originally reported the news said, and I quote, a Florida lap dancer has been arrested in Miami after assaulting 5 police officers with her vagina and using it as a deadly weapon without the intent to kill. The article begins. I mean, if you haven't guessed it yet, the story is fake, but people actually believed it and made it trending on Twitter. I mean, how can you even believe somebody using their vagina as a deadly weapon? I mean, yeah, it's not a James Bond movie, but like, really. So the the news is actually by the World News Daily Report, which is a satirical website. The mugshot that they've used to use in the article actually depicts an actual woman who was arrested in Houston, Texas in 2008. She looks so smug in the mugshot. Like, seriously, it's one of the funniest mugshots that I've ever seen. And even she was not accused of these air quotes acts. The article even picked up some other headlines from the same website, and they are, Woman falls pregnant after sexual intercourse with a used male sex doll she ordered on eBay. Woman sues Samsung for $1.8 million after cell phone gets stuck inside her vagina. What was it doing inside her vagina? Well, vibrating. Yeah, sad. So I am going to open this site and read this shit to you people because it's hella interesting. Also, the tagline under the site, slow read, where facts do not matter. Which basically to my ear sounds like either a Donald Trump speech or Fox News actually trying to report something that they truly believe in. So the very first news headline in front of me is Japanese PM drinks water from Fukushima nuclear plant to reassure the world that radiation is safe and tasty. Lottery winner arrested for dumping $20,000 of manure on Xbox's lawn. Xbox's lawn. Yeah. That's the kind of news that they have. Then there's cannibal killer slaughtered and ate 23 pizza delivery men, 6 Jehovah Witnesses and 2 postmen in 7 years. Then there's this one, New Jersey brother and sister allowed to marry after 10 years of long court battle. I mean, yeah, it's like that's basically the kind of website it is. And now it's like, I repeat, it is worldnewsdailyreport.com, where facts do not matter. And all of them are so, and it's actually well reported. They use like really interesting pictures, which makes you believe in the story a little bit. But a lot of it is also very controversial and shitty of them to write. For example, the Japanese one, it was not funny. It was just outright offending, according to me. So yeah, like go read on this website and don't expect me to report false news from now on. Like I might ask well if it's funny enough, but yeah. And you know, you can actually send these articles to all your friends and be like, oh, you know, this happened. Oh my God, you did not know it? That happened? What the fuck? And a Whitestone you're living in. And you know, while speaking, I am looking at a painting of mine and I'm speaking to it like I'm speaking to a human being. And then I just realized that I'm recording a podcast. And I should not be doing that. But I am doing that. So another thing which I should not be doing is out of the blue. But we're going to do it because most probably after this, somebody's going to get me arrested. But before we get arrested, it's time for an ad break. Now, and out of the blue, I want to talk about something fun. That is, I like to collect poisonous plants. Kinda, sorta. So today, so that's the first little bit because that's a musing that I had today in the evening and the afternoon and throughout when I was walking in and out of my house. And coronavirus lockdown has been enforced again and I'm still walking outside my house, so that also would bring the authorities to my house. But it was basically in my own garden. I do not need to explain myself to you people. And the second bit of the out of the blue is gonna be a Japanese legend. Now the plant that I want to talk about is called Sodom's apple. Now, Sodom's apple is a very popular plant which was used by the tribals to use as a poison to hunt animals. Its concentrate can basically render people blind of sorts. And now it is its flowering season and its flowers smell so fucking pretentious and manipulative. I do not know how to describe that smell. It's a very pleasant smell. But you smell it and you know there's something fishy about it. You know that it is poisonous. It is like, it's a really cool smell. Like, it's something you would want your candle to smell like. But you also know that it is a very manipulative one. That it is basically asking you to come and eat it. Or like, you know, consume it. And then fucking kill you. Yeah. So that's it. That was it. Like, it was just a random thing I wanted to talk about. Now to the actual part. The Japanese legend. I mean, it would be wrong for me to say that it is a specifically Japanese legend. It's a legend which is shared by all major Asian cultures like the Chinese, the Koreans, and the Japanese, as they all believe in foxes. Now, foxes have been animals which have coexisted with the Asians for a very long time. Thus, they mused a lot about their existences and, you know, just like the fun things. And so, the fox spirit is generally viewed as an evil creature. They are known to enjoy the company of humans for a variety of reasons that almost end badly for the human beings. And the main reason a fox spirit might search out a human is to suck away their life force or to even eat human flesh, thereby stealing their powers from and stealing the powers of a human and gaining their own, and along with their memories and knowledge, and in some cases even their human form. Now, it's considered the older a fox spirit grows, the more powerful it becomes. It's mostly thought that the more people the fox leeches the life spirit from or the chi from, the more powerful it gets also. A fox was is considered to be able to take a human form once it has gained enough life force or has aged up to 500 years. Now, some literature, it says that the foxes, they grow an extra tail for every 100 years of age, which is kind of inaccurate and does not really has any consistency throughout all the Japanese, all the literature all over, like the three cultures. In some stories, all of which are Japanese basically, foxes are considered to store their power in, so I read this initially in this article, in their white balls, and I was like, what? But then I read it properly and it said that foxes store their energy in the white balls that they play with. These are basically wish fulfilling jewels which contain the power, same way the powers of a dragon is considered in its pearls. Now, this is also something that I had no idea about, but it is also one of the beliefs. Now, if somebody is able to capture the fox spirits or the kitsune's ball, it puts you in the power. And some, according to this Korean show that I was watching, fox spirits also, if you show kindness to them or do them a favor, that also gives you the ability to have them do anything in order to repay the favor. And anyway, but not all the stories agree on the nature of Kitsune's balls. Though some of them are just toys or objects, some contain power, but not enough power to control the kitsune, just a little bit to make you feel good about yourselves. And like with things like Naruto, when you are like fox spirit, the very first thing that comes to your mind is a nine-tailed fox. But foxes, in the traditions at least, which believe that they gain tails with each added century, it is normally seen that there's either one-tailed fox, five-tailed, seven-tailed, or nine-tails, which are basically common, and other number of tails aren't really existing. Now, that also is kind of buggy because there's never a fox which has more than nine tails. So, which brings me to the kind of conclusion that maybe the foxes stay one-tailed until they are ready to become nine-tailed. And once that they're nine-tailed, they have already achieved the pedestal of the epitome of power. And that's where they remain, the platonic form of a spirit fox. Now, also understanding this, that foxes and the fox spirits are two very different things. They do kind of look alike, but that's about it. Foxes are basically powerful spiritual entities, and the word kitsune in Japanese, kitsu is basically the old word for Japanese which was used to describe a fox, and ne is the phonetic sound, so kitsune means the kitsu sound of the fox. Now it's, I believe, called kunkun. I do not remember, I should check this later on. Let me tell you right now, wait, let me open the article. Yeah, so now it's the fox bark in the modern Japanese is konkon, and earlier it was kitsu. So that's the origin of the name. Sorry to stray from the thing. All right. So foxes are basically very powerful spiritual entities which work with a human for any miscellaneous goal. Normally, in translated literature, they are portrayed as young women who seduce men for because men are basically douchebags who can get seduced by an animal, then be like, "Oh my God, I was raped by the animal." But yeah, ooh, talking about raped by the animals in the same news that the previous news article, Fishy News, I'm sorry to go back there. There was this specific headline that I read earlier in the day, which said that a fisherman from Florida who was lost at the sea for 14 days was basically raped by mermaids. And I'm like, yeah, that's a fetish, bro. But yeah, back to this. Where am I? Yeah. Now, also, it is considered that the foxes are divided into 13 clans, each corresponding to one of the lower Japanese elements. Now, this is something which comes from one single reference, which is Kitsune, Japan's fox of mystery, romance, and humor. According to the certain Kanagi, which is basically the maiden of the shrine who divines things and besides having other duties, there are 13 kinds of foxes with their different methods of witchery, such as the celestial foxes, the earth foxes, the black, the white, the red, and so forth. But that's about it. It is not there in any other literature, so we cannot really say that it is something which is common everywhere and they're associated with an element. Ha! Phew. This is one of those topics which I feel can become an entire episode because there were some foxes who are basically huge legends who happened to become kings and queens of the mainland China, and some of them held, they cut the heads of men and walked around with them. So that was something which was pretty interesting. And no, I did not read completely about it because I thought that maybe this legendary things can perhaps I can convert a legend to a episode, and if I end up reading a legend right now, I would end up telling you. So yeah. So then I just decided to do a historic fact check with you guys and talk about the common misconception and things which are lost in translation according to me and the websites that I researched. So stay tuned in case the foxes become an entire episode, and I'm getting goosebumps for no good reason. Maybe it's because how weirdly and nonsensically I've named the story and I've forgotten why I named it. And I remember, kind of, when I was naming it Shines Like Diamonds, I was like, oh my God, this is so smart. This would make so much sense. And now I'm like, eh? What? But yeah, so the story for today is called Shines Like Diamonds. The date that I've given it is 12th March 2019, and the time is 4:33 in the morning. The actual time is 4:17 in the morning, so let's scrap that and make the time 4:17 in the morning. So, he came. This is a bird who has been screaming since 3 a.m. and I'm like, honey, it's not daybreak yet. You're 2 hours too early, go back to sleep. So yeah. He came slowly walking down the stairs. His belt buckle was constantly making sound of metal clinking. His pants were longer than his legs. Or was it the first time that I noticed how short his legs were? Maybe it's that the pants aren't his. And the other part is also true. You know, this is actually very true, on a segue part, that a few times I've seen that wearing certain clothes make me like, oh, is that actually how my body is like? And this bird is like, ah! And I'm like, yeah, it's not funny anything. Nothing is gonna be funny in the episode from this point on. So he says, good fucking fuck. That was so cool. He said as he rubbed the red off his hand on the door. Well, at least she's useful now. You're missing out on a lot. I'm not even kidding. It has a fun element to it. Adibert's gonna keep on screaming. Wait, I'm gonna pause the recording for a second, then continue once it's quiet. Okay, I think the birds are gonna be quiet for a while now. I've waited about 20 minutes for them now. So, where was I? Yeah, you're missing out on a lot. I'm not even kidding. It has a fun element to it. Ah, really? Also, for the ones who do not understand what's happening, because I realized when I'm reading it now that it's very difficult to understand what's happening. The boy was engaged in necrophilia. Ah, really? I continued reading. Too bad you don't have a dad. With no effort to hide my annoyance. Oh, hey, you're still the best. Come here, give me a hug. Now, you filthy. First, go and throw away your shirt, I say. Oh, no, he said in a shriller tone. I love the shirt. I wanted to wear it like every day. To which I just smiled and pointed my finger towards the washing. His shoulder dropped as he dragged along his long pants towards there, removed his clothes and came and threw them all in the basket. Why don't we get your mattress down here? Up there would be kinda gloomy, no? He said when he walked to the side of the couch to grab my wrap. He folded the lilac thing around him and kind of danced towards the stairs. You know, this dance thing is something which when I was writing this story, I was totally into, because I was gonna buy some jewelry for myself. So I was like really happy, and now I cannot really relate to it. I'm like, how annoying is it to like dance everywhere? He looked at me with his sly smile, which made me go mad for him, and winked. As I hopped back on my feet, he was waltzing, literally over the stairs. I wanted to hold him there, make him mine all over again. I waltzed behind him, following the movement of his muscles. It was so liberating. The birds are back at it. Now I'm not going to pause. You'll just have to bear with it. Like, listen to them coo and ca and crow. Now, as we know, nothing really was holding us back. We can be together as we defeated the demons. He reached the landing on the first floor, and he froze this moment. His leg almost touching his right knee, his arms outstretched above, balancing all of his body just on his right leg, he pivoted to look at me. You know, like, I would like you to guys to like close your eyes and imagine this. Like, the person was dancing on the stairs and suddenly they stop and they're on their right leg and they like twist to look at you and point at you. So how creepy would that be? Do you want me to close that door for you, Koi? He asked as he pointed his toe towards Mum's room. Nah, it's fine. What'll she do? Scream at me? I said as I started to walk normally upstairs. As I reached closer to him, I brought my face closer to his and touched my nose to his and gave him the little kiss that he keeps on asking for, like a dog asking for ice cream. You know, this like Eskimo kiss thing is so much cuteness, and I'd forgotten that I had it in like this story and how much I liked it, and now how difficult it is gonna be for me to like even think of Eskimo kisses. Yeah. After that. And also, why is this thing wrong with me? Like, why do I name all the protagonists Koi? Like, yes, it's kind of cool, but it also like puts me into an existential dread half the times when I'm writing the story. I'm like, Koi, why am I naming this psychopath Koi? Like, you know, so far... Oh, I'll continue reading because I'll tell you later. Nah, it's fine. What did she do? Scream at me? No, wait, I read this paragraph already. After that, we held hands as he walked towards my room. first, we thought that we'd take Trot's mattress. When I put my hand in to lift it, I realized that it was all dirty. There were many wounds on it. Bleh. I mean, it wouldn't be very useful now, would it? I always felt that her mattress was so much better, so much more comfortable than mine. What a drag. Bloody bitch has to take the best things even in this condition. I went to kick her, and then I realized there's nothing stopping me from doing that. So I did. Now, Carp was... Oh, wait, I missed a line. Stopping, so I did. It felt so nice. Then I kicked again. I could feel my downsides tingling. You know, this is actually something that I read somewhere, that some people actually get turned on and can even reach levels of orgasm just by like doing something as hitting other people and stuff. Carp, by now, was already taking off mine. I decided taking off things off my mattress. I decided to help him. He picked up one edge and turned it the other way and turned himself the other way, extended his hands behind his back to grab the white mess. Grabbed the white mess. That's what they said. We started to walk shakily, and when we reached the stairs, he let go of the mattress. I lost a little bit of my balance and he turned around and asked me to hop on it. Like, till the point of losing a little balance, had somebody done that to me, I would have punched their face in. But in this case, she did not, because she's not me koi. She's the koi koi. And she pushed the rail of the stairwell to give a little raft a little motion. And wheeze! We were down in a second. It was all so fun, but we were all too tired after all that work to go back up again. So, we just rearranged the living room some and placed the mattress therein. We got the sheets from Trot, because her sheets were the whiter ones of the house. Then some bitch decided to come knock on the door like crazy. I do not know what these people want. Why don't they just get a life, you know? Who cares? I'm not opening the door. Then, it's my idiotic dog. Goes on to bark. Can't it be like, pretend that nobody's home and shut the fuck up? We should have gotten done with him too. Bloody mood killer. I say, as I roll my eyes. Now I look at Carp, and I just get on top of him. I slide my hands under his robe. There's nothing between us. We've won the war. Dun 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 dun. That's the end of the story. If you think that this one was not dark enough to read, that it did not really have, you know, those oof elements, well, you're right, because today's episode is... Well, a lot of podcasts and a lot of articles that I heard, they did go like that. This is the most gruesome thing that you've ever seen, I've ever heard in my entire life. But it's not really that, according to me. There has been worse things criminally and like the action-wise speaking that has happened. But psychologically speaking and, you know, the mental aspect of it is something which is absolutely baffling, and that's the reason why I'm doing it. And so the story itself is also rather psychological and not inspired from the murder part of it, but the aftermath of it. And the birds have started to scream again, and you guys will have to bear with that. All right, now so I'm not gonna like, as I told you, I'm not sure how to do this. Second, I don't want to tell you who died and why they died and tell you the backstory, Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a little bit of the past, a little bit of the status quo, and then what happened, and then a little bit more of the past and the future and whatever. Okay, so the protagonists of the story are in real life Lucas Markham, who's 15, and Kim Edwards, who was born 5 to 6 days before me, and on some, according to some sources, 13th or some sources 14th June 2001. Now, the other two important people in the story are Elizabeth Edwards and Katie Edwards, who are both 49 and one's 49 and one's 13. So these are basically the main characters of the story. Elizabeth is Kim's mother and Katie is Kim's younger sister. Now, I mean, you know, the day that I was researching this case in the morning, I had this random thought that I wanted to have kids. And I was like imagining a life with, you know, possibility of kids and cats, not only cats in my life. And when I read this and I researched, I was like, yeah, no, not happening. I'm fine with cats. So now a little bit about the relationship dynamic of these people. Katie, basically the younger child, loved her mom. And Kim was, you know, your usual angsty teen with an attitude problem. Elizabeth was considered to be a very good person. She was the dinner lady or the lunch lady for you Americans at the local elementary school. And she was basically loved there. She was very punctual. She was very reliable. She used to never be late. She used to always come early and like stay overtime and work with children. She was nice with kids and stuff. Okay, and now Katie and Kim on like with themselves are like complete opposites. Katie was popular. She was well loved by everybody. She was cool. She was cute. Kim was the tough cookie. She had that attitude. She was kind of dark. And I mean, when Kim was 6 years old and Katie was, I believe, 4, they say that she was either punched or slapped, according varying from sources, in the face by her mother. Now, when this happened, Elizabeth, the mother, she herself called the social services, and the kids were taken into foster care for 6 months, and then were later placed back with the mom after the required investigations and whatever were done. Now, yeah. So a lot of people say that the reason why there was like a very strained relationship between Kim and her mother was because of this incident, because she decided to punch her in the face when she was 6. And yeah, moreover, it's also noted like later on that Kim was jealous as fuck of Katie. And she considered her to be the favorite child. However, the other characters in the story, as in the real life story, like other people, they say that Elizabeth basically tried to be a good mother to both of them. Just Katie was more approachable and was, you know, the nicer child of the two. Now, also the other character in the story is Graham Greene, who's Elizabeth's like a really nice boyfriend who is a truck driver, and he spends a lot of time on the road. And he says that they used to be in touch whenever he was out of town. They used to call all the time and stuff. Now, then there's another boyfriend, that is Lucas, who is the boyfriend to Kim. Now, with Lucas also, he had a bad childhood. When he was 4, he was taken into foster care because of his parents' violent relationship, which led to their divorce. Then he moved in with his auntie later on after being thrown into the foster care situation. 1 year later, I already said foster care. Wow. So his auntie stepped up to take him in. Okay. 1 year later, his mother died of leukemia when he was 5. And his relationship with his father was like really bad because his father was basically an alcoholic. And so that was kind of severe. And he had no real parental relationship, though his aunt was an absolutely adorable person who took care of him. Okay. And at school, Lucas showed an aptitude for mathematics. He was actually smart in it. But he had like major anger issues, which one can say stems from his traumatic childhood, wherein he sees every opportunity as like a flight or fight situation and he decides to fight. He was the kind of child who would just like walk and headbutt walls and fight with other students. I don't understand the headbutting part. I'm like, okay. So when Kim first met Lucas at the John Gelb High School, he was throwing a chair across a classroom in a fit of rage. And you know what? That's how the spark flew. They got together. It was first love. They loved to talk about suicide. And for obvious reasons, Elizabeth fucking hated the idea of Lucas being in her child's life. And they were also having sex. So she was also like, yeah, no, I don't want that shit. I don't want my 15-year child to be having sex. And they were quite loud about it from some, according to some sources. I do not mean what kind of loud. I do not know what kind of loud. Yeah. And Lucas was kind of a dick to everybody. It is said that he basically wore the same clothes every day. And I mean, he would have smelled so bad. I mean, duh, that's why Elizabeth wasn't cool with the child having a sexual relationship with a petri dish for all practical purposes. And then also he was a total douchebag who used to headbutt walls. Yeah, red flags. So, and it's not only Elizabeth, even Katie, the people at the school and like Kate, Elizabeth's boyfriend, Gabe, I've forgotten his name, Mr. Green, also did not really like Lucas because he was like his girlfriend, a tough cookie. Now, let's jump to 14th April of 2016, which is about 6 years from today. Now, yeah. The main concern was from Graham Green, the boyfriend of Kim Edwards. No, the mom, Elizabeth Edwards, boyfriend to Elizabeth. She was not picking her phone since the morning. And it was added on with the fact that she hadn't turned to work that morning. And it was very uncharacteristic of her to, you know, like not really turn up. On the same day, Kim and Kim and Katie were also absent. Kim's boyfriend was also absent from school and he was even reported missing by his aunt. Now, throughout the day, the family's relatives came to knock on the door. Lucas's aunt also come. And she knocked on the door as she felt that that can be the only place where Lucas could have been hidden. Now, whenever the people came, they heard one thing, that was a dog barking inside when they knocked. So, yeah. Everybody was concerned. A lot of people had called police on, like, you know, Elizabeth and Katie because they were quite well loved. They had a circle. They had things to do and they did not turn up without any reason. They were not picking up the calls. So the police was contacted by a lot of people. And like, when I mean a lot, I mean almost everybody called up the police and was like, all right, these people are missing. Figure this shit out. Now, after 36 hours, the police reached the house and they knocked and the same thing which everybody else heard. And then they decided to, like, you know, knock down the door and like walk in through force because it was now a wellness call because there were like kids involved and shit, right? Now, you know, when you walk in a house which is most a probable crime scene, what do you expect to find? Blood, maybe a half-eaten human being, a dead something, Satanism. But no, in this case, it was even worse. It was two teenagers being romantic. So basically Kim and Lucas, the entire time they were inside the house, they were laying on a mattress that they had brought to the down to the living room, where they were watching the TV. They were cuddled up under a blanket, basically Netflix and chill, babe. They were the OG binge watcher in it. Now, they also noticed that there were a lot of alcohol bottles around them, and they've been drinking. So the police is like, hi, hello there, fucktards. Mind us telling what's wrong with you? Why did you not open the door, you stupid douchebags? And they didn't really see it, but that's what I would have said. Now, the police officer asked, where's Kim and Katie? Where's Katie and Elizabeth? And Kim said, yeah, they're upstairs. And the police asked if they're sick. And Lucas, looked at them dead in the eye, emotionless, coldly, casually. And why don't you go upstairs and see? And they were ruining their moment. They were romanticizing, and they broke down the door. Who does that? It was very rude on the policeman part. So I would say that Lucas is fine to be this rude. Now, I was going to say something which I absolutely forgot. Anyway, while reading the rude part, I paused for one fine second to think about something to say, and then I've forgotten it. When one of the officers went upstairs to check on them and one stayed down with the children, he saw Elizabeth and Katie dead in their beds, both slashed at the throats. There was blood everywhere, and literally everywhere, on the walls, on the bed, on the floor, on the ceiling, on the victims, everywhere. And it was deduced from the looks of it that they were most probably killed in their sleep. That's why the time was that early, 4:30 a.m. in my story. And where am I? Yeah. And the murder weapon, which was an 8-inch butcher knife, was just left at Katie's room. They did not even bother cleaning it up or anything. Both of the children downstairs were arrested immediately. Lucas looked at the police again and went fuck life to them as he was being detained. And as they were going out, Grant also came in, and he looked at Kim and he was what happened? But Kim just bowed her head and walked on, and she did not really reply to it. Now, it was later concluded that the kids were in the house for 36 hours, where they had killed two people and did not leave the house even once after doing the deed. The girl's actual mother and sister laid dead 10 feet over their head the entire time. The bathroom was upstairs near the dead bodies, and they must have used the washroom the entire time. They got the freaking mattress from the room of the sisters, which they shared. So they also must have taken things off, taken the this is the part from where the story is inspired. This is the aftermath of them killing them both and then doing whatever they want to do. Okay. And so they got the mattress down from that room. Now they had ice cream. They binged watched the Twilight series, like all the four or five of them, which were released in 2016. This is actually why it's called Twilight Murders, and it's very stupid that it is called that. I mean, it should be called Kids Punched at Six Killings, or like Mattress Killings, or just Psychopath Killings. And it was also found that they even wrote a suicide note, which was called Fuck World and such, which went to go and talk about their plan and how they want to die and the world is fucked and they are against the world and shit. And even in this letter, they asked their ashes to be scattered at this special place and then said, fuck you. You know, my house is really close to a street which is totally straight. Like, there's no curves on it. And some people, when they're going, like this douchebag, which is friend, I'm not sure if you heard it. So they just honked. And like, why are you doing that? Nobody can like really enter the street. Why are you honking? Just like, go. Okay. Yeah. So they wanted their ashes to be scattered at their favorite places and then said, fuck world. Cute. I mean, I'd punch their faces again if it was me. Now, in these 36 hours, I want to like really emphasize, for 36 fucking hours, they sat in the same house with two fucking dead bodies. And you know how they did it? I'm going to tell you what the pathologist said first. So Elizabeth, the mother, was stabbed 8 times, 5 times in her hands, once in her right shoulder and 2 to her neck. The stab wounds in her neck severed her jugular veins and windpipe. Though it's noted that the death wouldn't have been instant, she would have been alive for a little while when the entire thing happened. As the force of attack wasn't really strong because the bone tissues weren't severed. And now these specific details, like this specific paragraph is from this podcast called Morbid, which is hosted by a crime technician, and she reported this very well, so I thought I need to get credit, and not that they need, they're amazing people, oh my god. Now they say that she died by getting smothered a little bit, when she was killed, and she died like that, basically a little slowly because of the stab wound. The second victim, Kitty, had 2 stab wounds to the neck. Now, because of her biological makeup, some of her veins were up or down or something. So both of the stab wounds weren't particularly fatal for her. And like, they couldn't have caused enough blood loss to basically kill her. Now, the research on her body, I do not know. They autopsied her body. They figured that she died because she was suffocated, in this case by smothered through a pillow, and developed a hemorrhage due to the stab wound. Now, after this, like, once they were arrested, Lucas did not really say a lot, but Kim was like, listen, I'll make a podcast talking about everything that we did. And yeah, so she like just went on to tell all the details to the police officers. She was like, I don't care what happened, so what, and this is how I did it. Now, let's go back to the past and see how this specific situation built up. Now, Kim had tried to kill herself twice in the past, once in 2015 and once in March of 2019. Once in 2015, when she was even recommended to a doctor for psych evaluation, and she was like she was deemed fit. And in the next was in March of 2016, when Lucas was expelled from their school and now had to go to like a school which was miles away from there. So they could not really meet in the schools, and they had this relationship dynamic where they were like really, really codependent. And they were basically very clingy to the one and another, and when Lucas was expelled out of office reasons of rage and shit, they thought that the entire world was against their perfect happy ending. Alright, and then a few weeks before the murder, Kim had uploaded a very emo 2000s vibe of, like, you know, a 2000 teenager poster of black and white without smiling picture of her on her Facebook, I believe. And her mom commented under it with her beautiful smile. And she said that it disappeared. And then she said that, why? She said, I don't know. Then she's, the mother's like, look under the bed. And then she sends some random emojis. Then Kim also sends some random emojis. Like, it kind of shows that though Kim and she did not, like, really have a very nice relationship. I mean, she was, like, literally punched in the face by her when she was six. But Elizabeth had not, like, totally given up on her. And Plutus is awake and he's eating his food, and that's the voice you're gonna be hearing in the background, if at all. So she was trying to be a good mom to her, is what I'm trying to say. I mean, yes, commenting on a child's picture on Instagram and you're already not on very good terms is maybe not a very good thing to do, because it will make her even mad. Like, I would be annoyed if my mom was to do that. I'm 19 and I still don't want her to listen to my podcast. So yeah. Now, after a little while, before the murders, Kim and Lucas had decided to lock themselves up in Lucas's room. Now, against the wishes of both their families, the families were annoyed, like both of the children's families. So what Elizabeth did was that she packed the stuff of Kim in trash bins and gave some of the good stuff to Katie. And this was her way of saying that if you do not listen to me, if you do not follow the rules of the house, you go out of the house. Lucas also did the similar thing by clearing out the room of Lucas's aunt, cleared Lucas's room. And yeah, and they were basically trying to teach the children a lesson. And now one would think, like, okay, now this is why it would have happened. Like, this is what was the build up. And oh God, oh God, oh God, this was the trigger. But I think it's the entirety of relationship dynamic, both of their shitty traumas, their guilty bonding, their abandonment issues, and all of this just combined and amalgamated to bring out the worst in each, cumulatively speaking. Now, the murder was carefully planned by them. Kim was supposed to kill Katie and Lucas was supposed to kill the mother. Though in the end, Lucas ended up killing both of them because Katie could not really, you know, kill her little sister. First, it was the mother who was killed, and the stab wound in her hands basically showed that there was some kind of struggle there. Kim even said when she was talking about everything that she heard gurgling noises in the room. You know, this is something which I've read, that when somebody chokes on their own blood, they end up having this like, oh, sound. Not like, oh, but like some kind of sound. That was so disrespectful. I'm so sorry, guys. So when she went into the room when she heard this noise, she went into the room to check on Lucas and if he was fine. I mean, he went to check on the fucking murderer, not the fucking mom who was dying. And she even noted that she by mistake grabbed her mom's hand as though thinking that it was Lucas's. And when she realized that it was her mother's, she jerked it away in disgust. And this kid is another level of bullshit and like messed up. You know, the mother's face keeps on flashing in front of my eyes, and she looked like a woman who was tired, who worked, and she looked nice. And you know, Kim's eyes, if you look at them, they are very color dark, and they're very void. Like, even in the pictures that she's smiling, her eyes are like, you know, void. So yeah, I mean, and then after killing the mother, it was the turn of Katie. She was killed in the similar manner. After the entire charade, they got naked. They took a shower together. And Lucas even said that the shirt that he wore that day was his favorite one and he wanted to wear it more often. And so that was his major concern, that after killing two people, his shirt was rendered unwearable. And it also took killing two fucking people for this boy to take a bath and change clothes. Now, after doing this, like, they said the reason that they took a bath was to fool the dog in the house, that the dog does not smell the blood. But the dog was, I believe, also in and around the house with the two dead bodies upstairs. I do not really know and understand how that functioned, but I was like, okay, the dog, excuse me, I feel bad for the dog, to be honest. They took down the mattress, which was also a true part. They had sex, they took out the alcohol, they had a party, and yeah. Moreover, this, like, the final murder was actually the third try. The first two times, which were like the two previous consecutive days, the plan didn't pan out, because when Lucas arrived at the house, Kim ended up sleeping. I mean, you fucking planned to kill your mother and your sister and you ended up sleeping. How relaxed are you? I mean, I cannot sleep the entire day. I need to record the podcast or do something important, or there's a plan about things. And this guy just went to sleep. Fuck. So, it's also noted that the murder was actually inspired by the murder of Lucas's friend's father. And the friend is called Adam. And he said that Lucas was super duper interested in his father's death. First, he thought that it was because he was concerned. Later, it was like, yeah, he's just weird. And so basically, Adam's dad, he was called Warren, and he was killed by the teens in the neighborhood. I'm not sure what are they feeding their children, but whatever it is, it's not right. Okay. And so basically what these teens were doing, they were in a group and they were vandalizing his fence. And when they were doing that, Warren ran out of his house with a metal pipe in his hand and was warning them and, like, chased them down. Once they were in an alley, the kids started to beat Warren, and he finally died of his injuries. Okay. He was beaten by the kids. In this crime, there was one 18-year-old, two 15-year-old boys, two 15-year-old girls, and a 17-year-old boy who was accused and taken to court. However, they weren't convicted because the defense proved that they did it in self-defense, that they were basically children who were chased by an old man with an iron rod and they had to protect themselves and yada, yada, yada. So that was the inspiration that inspired Lucas to quote-unquote protect Kim from the fate of her family. Kim and Lucas were tried in the Nottingham Crown Court in November 2016. Justice Haydon Cave handed both the teenagers a minimum sentence of 20 years, which was later reduced because of their age to 17 and a half years following an appeal the following summer. When Kim was assessed by a psychiatrist, she went on to say and claim that she was mistreated by her mom. She does not care about her. She does not regret what happened. She did what she did. Her mom had it coming. She was very chirpy about the entire affair. Lucas, though, said that his intention was to protect Kim, and it was his way of doing the ultimate great thing that he could ever do for her. Lucas even said that the reason that he felt so powerful and, like, not anxious and stuff was because he knew that he was protecting Kim by his deed, and it was selfless in his eyes. The couple also noted that they killed Katie because they wanted to, not give her the scar of not having a mother, like of her sister be killing her mother. And at one second she showed no remorse and stuff, and the very next second she's like, yeah, the bitch had it coming. My mom was a bitch. So yeah. In the court, the defense said that the defense's the entire model was that they were mentally unstable. Now Lucas did not partake into it, I'd say. He pleaded guilty, and when he was like analyzed and stuff, it was seen that he had some kind of emotional disorder, that he couldn't really process his emotions, and yeah, that was his like issue. Though he was intellectually properly fine, he knew his consequences of the things that he was doing, and he knew his actions. And yeah, so he was basically convicted rather easily. Kim, however, wanted to go with the non-guilty verdict and accepted that she is mentally unwell under the guidance of her lawyers, which didn't pan out too well for her because, she was very smart. She also was kind of detached from the world, but that's about it. Now, in the court, when she was like doing her jazz to protect herself, she turned on Lucas and she said that he manipulated her into doing these things and yada, yada, yada. And yes, and like Lucas, also in her psych evaluation, it was noted that she was detached from everything and everyone. She did not really care about anything. So yeah, that's it. These kids in specific are trouble and I would punch them. But they are also not kids, they're exactly my age. Like the girl is exact fucking lately my age, and which also makes me a little bit of my brain wanna protect them, not gonna lie. I mean, I don't want to, but since I want to, I'm gonna not protect them. I'm gonna basically justify, as I told you before, that they had a shitty childhood, all right. Both of them, like, yes, Kim was not an easy child to get along with, but Elizabeth was maybe also not a very easy mother to get along with when it comes to somebody like Kim, that maybe she was not able to give her the attention that she needed, the kind of care that she needed. Thus, it ended up manifesting into this shit show which happened. And then there's anger, then there's trauma, their parents, they came from a broken house, their locality where they lived was actually very infamous for crimes and stuff. So it all adds up, you know, and it feels, you know, like these birds, how they're like chirping senselessly, but because they have a purpose. That's what I feel about this. Yeah. And the city that this happened is Lincolnshire in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So yeah, that's it for this specific episode. I do not know how to get out of this and not hate kids, and they are not even kids, they're my age, and that's like something which is disturbing me the most. Yeah. So the podcast is brought to you by Koyonir. It's co-produced with Nefix. The music is by Lil Addy. You can reach out to me on my Instagram and Twitter handles, koy@koyonir. And my email address is koy@madebynefix.com, where you can just talk to me, you can slide into my DMs, or you can even send me mails, or you can tell me about your spooky little ghost stories. And the new episode is going to be launched on the 29th of April 2021. It's April, right? Yeah, it's April. So yeah, okay, bye bye.